Bill at Fillmore Street. This is BillPutt.com. The Week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, the 30th of March, 2017. On this date, in 1856, the Crimean War formally comes to an end with the Treaty of Paris. The Russian Empire is the losing side. The winning side includes the British and Ottoman Empires, France, and the Kingdom of Sardinia, crucially, I guess. The treaty declares the Black Sea to be neutral territory and closed to warships. France gains formal rights to represent the Christian communities in the Ottoman Empire, which at the time include a bunch of Georgians and Armenians. 1867, the United States purchases Alaska from the Russian Empire for $7.2 million. 1918, violence breaks out in Baku in what is remembered as the March events. Between 3,000 and 12,000 Azerbaijanis and other Muslims are killed over 4 days of fighting, mostly by Bolshevik-backed the Armenian Revolutionary Federation, commonly referred to as the Dashnaks. 1945, the Red Army captures Vienna. They fully withdraw from Austria, not until 1955, on the condition that Austria declare itself permanently neutral in the Cold War, which it does. 1949, riots break out in Reykjavik, Iceland, to protest the government's decision to join the newly formed NATO alliance. Rioters throw rocks at the parliament building before police crack down with truncheons and tear gas. 1981, U.S. President Ronald Reagan is shot in the chest outside a Washington, D.C. hotel by John Hinckley Jr. Birthdays are Vincent Van Gogh, Warren Beatty, and Eric Clapton. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast is written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com. That's tblpod.com. Or send an email to tpeelpod@gmail.com. Visa-free travel to the Schengen area started on Tuesday. Georgian passport holders can now spend up to 90 days during any 180-day period in the Schengen zone with no visa necessary. According to reports, the first group of visa-free travelers arrived in Greece without complications, although I heard it was Vilnius, but I guess not. We'll talk about a cool sign they put up there in Vilnius later. The special news briefing on Monday, Interior Minister Georgi Mkhebishvili announced measures to protect against abuse. He said the border guards will interview all Georgian travelers bound for Schengen countries. Travelers will also be given information about the consequences of overstaying the 90-day period, a 3,000 euro fine, deportation, and a 5-year ban from entering the Schengen area. This is intended to avoid triggering the suspension mechanism by which EU members could temporarily suspend the visa-free regime if a large number of Georgians are caught trying to stay illegally. The suspension mechanism can be applied for up to 9 months at a time. Mkhebishvili said that over the past 6 years, Georgia received 7,300 applications from EU countries to readmit Georgians who had been caught staying illegally. Roughly 95% of those applications were fulfilled by the authorities. Now that the visa waiver is official, the government has started to articulate the next set of Euro-Atlantic integration goals. Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze reminded everyone in the press conference on the 27th of March that the goal is to make Georgia a full member of the European Union so that the country needs to introduce EU standards into its political and economic systems. Following up on the Rustavioti case, the brothers Georgi and Levon Karamanishvili, who still own the station while the Supreme Court ruling is suspended by the European Court of Human Rights, or ECHR, offered to hand over shares to the station's current employees. The Karamanishvilis own 91% of the shares of the company and have offered to hand over a controlling stake worth 51% of shares, which would be divided among the employees. Rustavioti director Nika Gvaramia announced that they would accept the offer, setting up a new LLC to manage the controlling shares. The Karamanishvilis are currently working out the legal details of the transaction. How the sale would work in light of the ownership dispute is not clear. Last month, the Supreme Court ruled the station had to be handed over to its previous owner, Kibar Halvashi. The ruling was suspended by the European Court for Human Rights a few days later, but it was only suspended, not nullified. So it's not clear whether the Karamanishvilis can legally execute a transfer of shares. There's been a lot of discussion of which employees get shares, how many shares, how they would get those, and when. A lot of that discussion has been held public in the public or has been televised. Abkhazia held runoff elections for 21 vacant seats in its 35-seat National Assembly. In total, at least 30 seats will go to independent candidates. A repeat election in the single-mandate constituency of Gudauta is scheduled for the 14th of May, which will complete the voting process. Only 8 of 28 running incumbents won their election. Among those elected, 31 are ethnic Abkhaz, 3 are ethnic Armenian, and only 1 is a woman. In Abkhazia, lawmakers are elected for 5-year periods. In travel to and from Georgia, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili went to Kiev this week to meet with the leaders of Ukraine, Azerbaijan, and Moldova within the Guam format. He also attended a business forum organized by the Georgian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Also this week, the Prime Minister went to Athens to meet with his Greek counterpart, Alexis Tsipras. They celebrated the arrival of Georgia's first-ever visa-free travelers to the Schengen area. After Athens, the Prime Minister flew to Brussels to meet with European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker and European Council President Donald Tusk. Latvian President Raimondas Vejonis was in Tbilisi to meet with President Georgi Margvelashvili. Margvelashvili thanked the Latvian President for supporting Georgia's territorial integrity and Euro-Atlantic integration. On Thursday, the President went to Lithuania with a group of Abkhazian and South Ossetian residents who hold Georgian passports. He'll meet with the Lithuanian President Dalia Grabauskaitė. Prime Minister Saulius Skvernelis and Parliamentary Speaker Viktorijus, something that starts with P for Paul, David Bakradze, Ambassador to the United States, is in San Francisco, where he spoke to the Commonwealth Club yesterday in a trip organized by lobbyist Paul Joyle, who has worked doing this sort of thing under Shevardnadze, Misha, as well as we now know Otsneba. It was a good speech. I was present. Was very critical of Russia. It was a lot of promotion for tourism and rights and investor relation related stuff. UN Human Rights Council passed a resolution demanding immediate access to Abkhazia and South Ossetia. Had reaffirmed its commitment to Georgia's sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity within the country's internationally recognized borders. The resolution is titled On Cooperation with Georgia and is as the first resolution with respect to Georgia to be passed by the Human Rights Council. It was approved with a vote of 18 of the Council's 47 members. 24 abstained, 5 voted against. Bolivia, Burundi, interestingly, China, Cuba, and Venezuela. The resolution was condemned by Russia, which said it was politicized and aimed against Abkhazia, South Ossetia, and Russia. In the same statement, Russia's foreign ministry accused Georgia of sabotaging the Geneva talks. UN Security Council had a discussion on Georgia on the 28th of March to discuss issues regarding Abkhazia and South Ossetia. The meeting was called by Ukraine's permanent representative to the United Nations, Vladimir Yelchenko. Yelchenko said that all but one delegate in the Security Council, Russia, voiced support for Georgia's territorial integrity and sovereignty. Parliamentary Speaker Irakli Kobakhidze announced the Constitutional Reform Commission will publish a draft of its constitutional amendment proposals on the 10th of April. He's made clear that among the proposals will be an amendment to end direct election for the president, which will go into effect from 2023. In a panel discussion this week organized by the hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, Kobakhidze spoke about the need for Georgia to transition from a semi-presidential republic to a parliamentary republic and cited academic arguments for why parliamentary system with indirectly elected presidents are more stable and effective. In keeping with the Misha-era tradition of finding one tiny isolated European justification for a bad policy change, they found some guy named Fernando Casal Bertoa of the University of Nottingham, who says what they want him to say. Eka Gigaudi of Transparency International countered with the argument that while there is a theoretical case for getting rid of direct elections, Georgia's main priority should be preventing single-party dominance, and keeping things the way they are is necessary for the time being. I very much agree with her. I would also say that this thing of no more party coalitions and the unassigned votes will go to the biggest party, I've never seen any country that does that, and it's an incredibly bad idea of pretending to have proportional representation while giving the party that gets a plurality more votes than they would have gotten more from the population is an incredibly bad idea. There's also business are not so excited about the ability of the government to raise taxes without a referendum. I am personally against this particular part of the Constitution. I don't think it ever should have been in there, and that the government should be able to raise or lower taxes however it wants. But the government is a little bit nervous about what businesses will have to say about that and what that could mean for foreign investment. Patriarch Ilya II called on Russia to withdraw its occupation of Abkhazia and South Ossetia. He said the country's territory is artificially divided and that the current situation can't last forever, and Russia needs to pull out. Russian border guards detained Georgian citizen Kakhabar Kisishvili near the village of Palvismani in Gori municipality, according to local sources cited in agenda.ge. It is the third time he's been detained. The last time was in February, where he was released after his family paid a 2,000 ruble, and I say this with air quotes, fine. The 23rd Battalion of the Georgian Armed Forces left this week for Afghanistan to serve in NATO's Resolute Support mission. They replaced departing 32nd Battalion and will spend the next 7 months providing security at Bagram Air Base. Misha announced he'll be the next host of the Other Ukraine as weekly talk show, a weekly talk show on Ukrainian TV channel Zeek. Ukraine's former energy minister Igor Kiryushin was arrested in Georgia on the 25th of March. The court issued a warrant for 90 days detention so the authorities can deal with extraditing Kiryushin to Ukraine. He's been on the run from Ukrainian authorities since being charged with embezzling 2 million hryvnia worth of public property. A group of wounded Ukrainian soldiers arrived last week for treatment in Tbilisi. They're receiving 2 weeks of physical and psychological rehabilitation at a medical center in Zerovani near Tbilisi. Ukrainian soldiers have been receiving treatment in Georgia since 2015 when an agreement was signed between the two countries. A new center for family services has launched in Kutaisi by the health ministry with support from USAID and UNICEF. Children with severe disabilities will be transferred there from larger state-run institutions and will be able to receive 24-hour nursing care, physical rehabilitation, and community integration services. The project is part of the USAID's $1 million five-year Protection of Children with Disabilities project, which launched in Georgia in 2015. International Chamber of Commerce, ICC, temporarily shut down its operations on Thursday to protest corruption in Georgia's court system. ICC President Fadi Asli said the organization believes several judges are corrupt, pointing to recent rulings where courts handed down massive fines to Terra Bank, British American Tobacco, and Philip Morris. The tobacco fines are procedurally extremely strange, and my guess is they're connected with Vanoch Kartishvili. You heard it here first on Tvilpot.com. Geostat published statistics on GDP growth during the month of February. Year-on-year growth was 4.4% in February, 4.8% when January and February are combined. Also, total merchandise trade is up 17.5% year-on-year during the first 2 months of 2017. I'm guessing that a lot of that was imported. Speaking of trade imbalance on the Lariization program, the government says that the program is now finished. A total of 5,617 loans worth roughly $80 million were converted into lari after the program launched on the 17th of January. According to the central bank, about 33,000 loans were eligible for the program, but only 1/6 of those were converted. The Asian Development Bank, or ADB, approved a $114 million loan to the government to build a new 14.3-kilometer bypass road near Batumi. The new two-lane bypass road will start from the Sanaki-Poti-Sarpi Road and end at the juncture of the existing Batumi-Akhaltsikhe Road. Kutaisi-based microfinance organization Crystal signed a lari-equivalent $10 million facility agreement with the Netherlands Development Finance Corporation. The money will go to creating financial products for micro and small enterprises with special emphasis on tourism, agriculture, and service sectors. The Tiflis textile factory will open in Tbilisi later this year. It will employ 24 people and involve an investment of about $1.58 million. It's supported by the Produce in Georgia program. Jordanian Airlines Air Arabia Jordan is launching direct flights between Tbilisi and Jordan's capital of Amman. They'll start on the 28th of April and depart every Tuesday and Friday. You may have heard rumors that Starbucks plans to come to Georgia. The company gave a statement to Imedi TV this week saying that it's not going to happen anytime soon. Fashion designer Demna Gvasalia won an award from the Council of Fashion Designers of America, or CFDA. He's one of six designers to win a CFDA award this year. Gvasalia is the creator, is the creative director of Balenciaga and a head designer at Vetements. He'll formally receive an award at a ceremony on the 5th of June. Country will host 13 international sporting events this year under the Check-In Georgia program. In total, Georgia will host guests from about 70 countries during the 13 events, which will include the following: Judo Grand Prix, International Car Racing Championship, Davis Cup match between Georgia and Lithuania, European Sumo Championship, that will be so awesome, World Run Wings for Life, European Championship in Wushu, European Youth Football Championship, European Rafting Championship, World Youth Rugby Championship, European Fencing Championship, World Youth Handball Championship, World Chess World Cup, and the final phase of Europeans of Women's Volleyball European Championship. National football team lost 3-1 to Serbia in a friendly match in Tbilisi on the 24th of March. Parliamentary news: public defender Uchen Anuashvili addressed Parliament, calling on it to fulfill the country's obligations under the Istanbul Convention, a document signed by Justice Minister Teo Tsoulikiani in 2014. The convention is concerned with preventing and combating violence and harassment against women. Despite the efforts of Tsoulikiani, Anuashvili, and a number of NGOs and civil society activists, Parliament still has not ratified the convention, which would involve passing a number of legislative acts to protect the rights of women. The meme this week is a photo posted by Mayor of Vilnius with a sign welcoming Georgian arrivals at Vilnius Airport. The sign in Georgian and English says, "Closer than ever." Stuff to read. Writing for the Calvert Journal, Sebastian Hope profiles some of the Georgians who still idolize Joseph Stalin. He visited the meeting place of the Communist Party of Tbilisi, which has about 100 members. We're also introduced to Stalinists who commemorate the former leader on Victory Day each year in his hometown of Gori, and a man who's building a small museum dedicated to Stalin in the garden outside his apartment block. OC Media covers the Tbilisi authorities' crackdown on street vendors. On the 19th of March, municipal workers cleared out an area around Marjanashvili metro station, removing stalls and products in the early morning hours without notifying the vendors. Then another cleanup was organized on Baratashvili Street and Beliani Square. Police are patrolling the areas to prevent vendors from returning. According to the city, it's cracking down on illegal vending and clearing space for pedestrians in Tbilisi's busiest areas. Social Science in the Caucasus launches a series on safer transport, public transportation. They start by looking at marshutkas, doing a small study on whether telling marshutka drivers they are being monitored has a positive impact on their driving. The study is still being carried out, and they provide a background on road safety in the country. From 2013 to 2016, annual road deaths increased by 17% to 602 per capita. That is more than three times the European Union average. Masha Gessen, writing for Harper's, covers the World Congress of Families, or WCF, meeting in Tbilisi last year at Pilarmonia. WCF was founded back in the 1990s by Alan Carlson, a conservative professor from the U.S. who saw an opportunity to spread anti-LGBT propaganda in post-communist countries where many people were concerned about demographic decline. The WCF has now become close to the Kremlin and to some Georgian conservatives. They link LGBT rights to notions of demographic decline, which is really a proxy for racial and religious prejudice. Levan Vasadze, well-known Georgian rich dude, was the one who brought this group to Tbilisi, and their connections with Russia and the general Russian vibe of anti-gay and nationalistic rhetoric is interesting and covered very well by Masha Gessen, who knows a lot about that. Peter Pomerantsev has a fantastic short piece in Coda Story about the Kremlin's message on LGBT issues. While it has portrayed itself as a bastion of conservative, by which they mean anti-gay values since around 2012, that actually has nothing to do with ideology and has less to do with domestic politics than many think. Anyone who's spent any time in Russia knows that the population is not particularly conservative. Instead, the Kremlin has used the anti-gay stance as a wedge to drive into Western societies, especially the U.S. Note, Radharami translated his book about Russian disinformation called Nothing is True, Everything is Possible. It just came out a few weeks ago. It is brilliant and now available in the Georgian language at Biblos bookstores and other places, so pick one up for Georgians you know. If you also read it in English, although Radharami does not do English books. Georgi Lomsadze for Eurasianet covers allegations by first daughter Anna Margvelashvili that police are targeting her friends and family with fabricated drug charges in order to intimidate her father, President Margvelashvili. In an interview earlier this month, she told Rustavioti that police planted 18 pills of Subutex, an illegal synthetic opioid, on her friend Mikhail Tatarashvili and threatened to do the same to her brother-in-law, Mindia Gogochuri. For its part, the Interior Minister denied planting anything and said that being close to the president or members of his family doesn't put anyone above the law. This case comes at a time at which the president's disagreement with Otsneba are getting uglier and more frequent. He's playing an extremely positive role in making the constitutional amendments a little bit more discussed than they might otherwise be. Writing for Democracy and Freedom Watch, Ako Svanidze covers a practice of child marriage among Georgia's ethnic Azerbaijanis, an amendment to the civil code that went into effect on the 1st of January this year says 18 is a legal age to wed. However, that often fails to change practices in rural areas. As Svanidze reports, most ethnic Azerbaijanis in eastern Kakheti know that child marriage is illegal, but many claim the right to do so on religious and traditional grounds. Writing for The Clarion, Dominic K. Kagara analyzes the controversy surrounding South Ossetia's former president, Edward Kokoiti. Kokoiti is a vocal opponent of Vladimir Putin's aide on Abkhazia, South Ossetia, and Ukraine, Vladislav Surkov. The implication is that Surkov has a lot of influence in Tskhinvali, amazingly, and doesn't want Kokoiti to make a comeback. Last year, a think tank close to Surkov published a report saying that Moscow is not interested in his returns to politics. Regardless of how popular he may be in Tskhinvali, Moscow is calling the shots, and they don't like him. Chaykhana profiles Rubaba Mukhtarova, an ethnic Azerbaijani who moved from Baku to Barnauli in 2014 after leaving Islam and converting to Protestantism. Georgia doesn't seem like an obvious place for a religious refuge, but she's found a welcoming community there. Barnauli has a Protestant community of about 50 people, which includes people speaking English, German, Korean, Russian, and Azerbaijani. Tom DeWald of Carnegie Europe writes about the potential for the South Caucasus to become an actual region, not just a trio of states stuck next to each other. It depends on resolution from Nagorno-Karabakh, Abkhazia, and South Ossetian conflicts. While there are some encouraging signs coming out of Georgia with regards to its approach to its own conflicts, none of the three looks close to a real breakthrough. In DeWald's view, the only option is to pursue incremental change and to see the protracted conflicts in the context of developments in the region as a whole. He's right, and it would be a great thing if it happened, probably more likely to happen after Azerbaijan runs out of hydrocarbon. All these things to read will be posted in our forum. This week's dive bar number is 92,895. The number of Schengen area visas issued to Georgian citizens in 2016, a little over 12% of visa applications were rejected. Let's just imagine the amount of time that that took to fill out forms and deal with administrative processes, all of which we can wave goodbye to. Registration is open for the Wings of Life World Run 2017. Georgian part of the event will take place on the 7th of May in Kakheti, starting in Lopota. Last year, about 6,000 people participated in Georgia. The entry fee is 30 lari, which goes directly to spinal cord research. You can register at wingsforlifeworldrun.com. In 3 weeks, Viktor Orban, the dictatorial, creepy nationalist leader of Hungary, will be in Tbilisi on the 21st of April from 9 to 3 p.m. at the Courtyard Marriott on Freedom Square. for a Hungarian-Georgian business forum. They're going to be there. You know, I would be surprised if there are not some people who have some things to say about that. Should be interesting to hear how that whole thing will be handled. I mean, Georgia's trying to get close to the EU. Orban is the head of state of Hungary, although hated by practically everybody else in the European Union. And so, I don't know, interesting question. 86th International Session of the European Youth Parliament needs organizers. A session will take place in Tbilisi this November. They need energetic, dedicated young people who can organize events over the next 8 months. If interested in applying, send an email to tbilisi2017@eyp.org.ge. It's a very cool group and work doing. Tell young people in Georgia you know. For those with late night food cravings who don't want to go to the 24/7 Khingali place, Night Pizza is now open for delivery all over Tbilisi. They're a delivery-only place that works from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. each night, and their menu looks great. Check out nightpizza.ge for more information. Another reminder that longtime Tbilisi resident Mark Rainhagen of Make Believe Games has launched a Kickstarter campaign for his latest project. President Schröder, Stump the Trump. The game is a puzzle video game where the object is to ridicule, parody, and throw cream pies at the President of the United States. This sounds like your thing. Search for President Jr. on Kickstarter website and make a donation. Any amount is appreciated. It's weird, but it's Hagen, so I'm in. On the 31st of March, 7:30 p.m., there's a panel discussion at Elia State University on legislation to address violence against women. The discussion will be in Georgia, and it's open to the public. Quick note about buying state property. We got a report from a longtime listener and source that I trust that there was a piece of property she was interested in. She then contacted the National Agency of State Property, which is a part of the Ministry of Economy and Sustainable Development, to find out about it. Then, with no sign out front, no announcement, it is promptly privatized, and I quote, at auction, with one bidder, who then immediately turns around and tries to sell to the person who originally inquired, and, surprise, surprise, at a wildly inflated price. Oldest trick in the book. Actually, the same thing happened to me under the Misha government. Although it wasn't a piece of property, it was a giant fiberglass head of linen. Note to the Georgian government. Georgia has a serious trade imbalance. You want to improve foreign investment. If you do, you need to jump on stuff like this rather than ignoring it. Because we all talk and the truth gets out. So track that down. Find out who in the ministry that person is, who is connected to the person who bought it, subpoena the electronic data and logs to prosecute for corruption with the same vigor you prosecuted those poor young guys at the Defense Ministry under Alassania who didn't actually do anything wrong. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @TXTBUK. Our email is tbealpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbealpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2001, from the Bronx, New York City, this is Mary J. Blige with Family Affair.
Start to lose your mind. a drink, go ahead and rock your eyes, cause we're celebrating, no more drama in our lives. With a great track pumping, everybody's jumping, go ahead and twist your back and get your body bumping. I told you leave your situations out the door, so grab somebody and get your ass on the ground.